What are people up to in town? Find out on Out There Wednesday afternoons from 4 to 5 on Valley Free Radio for live encounters from the streets and paths of Northampton and beyond.
We don't care if we live out of date. We don't care if we're a little bit late. Gonna mix in baby, me and you on my rocking bicycle that's built for two.
And thanks for tuning in to Out There Today. It's Wednesday, February 28th, the last day of February, and the first day of summer. Actually, that was last Wednesday, which reminds me, one of the clips I have for today's show is my housemate, Alex Jarrett, talking about paddling down the Connecticut River in a little inflatable raft in a wetsuit last Wednesday when it was sunny and 71. He said he was too hot. He had lunch on an iceberg. Well, I'll let him tell the story later. What else we got for today's show is Eric Loken's guard and Kristen Wilmer discussing with me the mystery of the blue apron. And Marty Mirabal Jr. talking about in December or January, when the place that he and some other people were staying off of Texas Street got cleaned up or their things removed by the DPW. And what else? A few other little things here and there. I'm not sure what we'll have time for. I'll do some talking in between things. But I'm just going to start with the mystery of the blue apron.
At Blue Apron, we grow food differently. Our chefs and farmers plant crops together to make farmland healthier and grow ingredients that taste better. Learn how we're building a better food system at blueapron.com/vision.
So the way I first found out about Blue Apron was when Clarissa came home one day last month from her Petal People route with a bag full of individually wrapped two scallions and bag in a plastic bag, a sprig of rosemary in a plastic bag, three pieces of kale in a plastic bag. And we were just like, what is this? And she explained it was like, you know, individually portioned, boxed things to make your cooking easier.
Perfect recipe.
Yeah. So you're familiar with it too?
Yeah, it's like you subscribe and they send it to you and they give you the recipe and exactly what you need to cook it. So, like, every ingredient in the exact proportion you want.
So you don't even need a...
You don't even need to...
Fingers to count on.
You can be really lazy. You can.
So how does it get to you?
They ship it to you.
Like
it just comes to your door.
A FedEx truck? How does the box get to your door?
Is it FedEx? I don't know.
UPS or FedEx. It's like some stinky truck, right? So do you know where it comes from? Like, where does the food come from?
I don't know. Certainly wasn't coming from where I was living. I was living on Nantucket. And
What is their claim about better farming or whatever? Is that, what do they mean by that?
It's pretty vague.
A better food system means getting the food you want to your house without regard to any kind of environmental destruction that it may cause.
What
were
you
thinking? All right, well, what I remember about it is a very large box. I had heard about it, and it sounded like there was a good deal to begin with, so I thought, I'll try this out. And this big box arrives on my doorstep, and at first it was great. I was like, wow, here's a little bag that has all the herbs I need. Like, here's a little bag with all the spices I need, and I can just make dinner quickly. And I was living by myself at the time, and it was kind of like this lonely existence, but I could cook good food quickly.
Did you feel like it was love in the box?
Yeah, it was like love in a box. No. It has a picture for everything, so you can see. You don't even really have to read, you can just look at the pictures.
Yeah.
But it came in these big insulated bags, and like the insulated bags started piling up because
they don't take them back?
No, not that I was aware of. And so after a while, it just started getting to me, like, these guilty pangs of, like, all of the packaging materials that were going into it. And I wasn't quite sure what to do with all these insulated bags that looked, like, pretty fancy, and a lot of energy had gone into it.
Did you feel like you had less food waste because you were getting everything that went into your meal and then eating it all?
No, because my family's clean plate club anyway. Like, that's how we were raised. So, no, not much difference that way. And, yeah, eventually the packaging became too much, and I was like, I can't do this anymore. And also the price. Like, after a while, it didn't really make sense anymore. But, yeah, I'm curious, like, I'm curious what other people have to say about it. And if maybe they're improving their packaging system.
Yeah, because this was 4 years ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago. I mean, here, it doesn't seem like there's much need, at least in my current situation, like, get really good local food.
I think it's a really good idea for people who don't really know how to cook. It's like,
stuff
comes to you, it's a vetted recipe, you don't need to research it, it's all there, and you're actually learning to cook. And then you can learn to, like, kind of do it yourself.
That's how I justified it to myself. I was like, oh, I'm just going to learn these recipes. Mm-hmm. I don't think I cook any of those anymore.
That's the piece of it that I've heard. So I've talked with a lot of CSA farmers who say that they've like tried to incorporate more elements of Blue Apron into their CSA shares. So if they distribute a box, they'll like have certain ingredients in it and try to distribute recipes with that that people can make.
How successful has it been?
I don't know. All I know is that farmers have tried to like have felt that that's something that consumers are demanding and that is appreciated by people that they deliver shares to.
What are some of the concerns or opinions that you've heard from local CSA, your local farmers, about Blue Apron?
Yeah, I don't know. I've heard a lot of different types of responses that people have had. Like some CSA farmers think that they really have to work hard to match the same sorts of conveniences that are offered in a service like Blue Apron. And so in offering CSA shares, they're trying to be a lot more like trying to cater towards the convenience, like that towards the specific things that customers want, or like putting specific recipes in each box or doing different things like that, that are more similar to Blue Apron. But I've also heard from other farms who have felt like it's sort of a futile effort to try to replicate what's being done by those sorts of services. And I've heard from people that it's sort of like that are trying to work against that sort of ethos of convenience and trying to like provide some really good healthy food, but trying to do it in a way that emphasizes all the things that you get from supporting farms that treat workers well, that care about environmental practices and that have other values. And so those CSA farmers are saying they're just trying more to tell their story about why they're doing what they're doing and don't try to match what's being done by the larger box shares.
You don't know where the food's coming from. Like, do they get food from local farms, or do you know?
So I don't know where all the produce is coming from Blue Apron, and I think they do some regional buying of produce in different locations. I don't know of any farmers in the Pioneer Valley who are selling to Blue Apron, so I don't think that there's very local produce in those boxes.
Oh, I see.
The next little clip, this part of this, is from yesterday. I was at the transfer center, and I ran into my coworker, Lingang. We were emptying the trash, recycling the compost off of our bike trailers as part of our work. We were at the compost dumpster.
From a waste hauler's perspective, Lingang, what are some of the waste issues you see with the food delivery services like Blue Apron and thing, box, stuff like that?
Definitely box, and also the things that kind of like a gel ice type of thing. They try to keep the ingredient, whatever food, fresh. And those things are super heavy for compost.
This gel that you just put in the compost dumpster, can you describe it? I don't even know how to describe it.
Me neither.
I thought it was ice when I first
touched it. It's kind of solid inside. Outside looks like a plastic, like foam type, but inside's kind of like ice. It's pretty cold, and it's heavy.
That's a big thing for us, for the waste haulers. It's heavy.
Yeah, it's very heavy.
Any idea what it's made out of?
Not sure.
But the customer had it just in their compost bucket like this?
Yeah, they throw it in a compost bucket. Huh. And they also have that the type of bag to surround the food or something. Uh-huh. It's like very heavy.
The plastic bag?
No, actually it's a paper bag. And inside is like all like paper, some kind of mushy shredded paper inside. Uh-huh. I have no idea. That also is heavy too. Yeah.
Huh. Well, this stuff, I don't know what's in it, but it feels okay when I squish it between my fingers. It just feels like water.
Hmm.
It's, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure what type of stuff is
I hope it's compostable.
I hope.
And that's the mystery of the Blue Apron. The voices that you heard were Kristen Wilmer and Eric Lokensgaard. Also, Steve Shea had a few comments in there. And the last, it was Lingang. And, of course, my voice. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Also streaming online at valleyfreeradio.org. Here's a plastic state of mind.
Martine, help me on the prep, please.
Okay, would you like paper or plastic?
You forgot it though. You were busy dreaming of ice cream and all that cookie dough. Your life is wrapped in plastic. Convenience is your motto. But plastic addiction's worse than they want you to know. BP's oil spill, almost like we did it. We use 1 million grocery bags every single minute. Recycling them's a joke, yo. That baggie don't go anywhere. Turns to little pieces and it spreads over everywhere. Into your food supply, into your blood supply. Not to mention birds and fish and cuties. You don't wanna die. Look at baby Sammy, dioxins in his Milky Way. Cause even a breast milk, it's got PCB and BPA. Okay, now you get it. How you gonna stop it, though? Banning single-use plastic bags, it's the way to go. Join other states and cities, kick the nasty habit. Tell your representatives to ban single-use bags made from
plastic.
Save our cities. Bring in your own bags and forks and bottles should be easy. But corporations selling toxins on the government. Stand together for yourself and kiss the planet saying yeah, yeah. That single use bags made of plastic. Fossil product oil crap's made of. There's one thing we can do. And bags made of plastic. Bring your
And that's by, it's off a YouTube video. It says, made by passionate volunteers on a super tiny budget on behalf of Green Sangha. And also, here's a new, well, not new. Here's a PSA I haven't played before on Valley Free Radio.
Why are those red cups in the bin? The recycling chart says no cups.
Because we use a lot of them, and they should be recycled.
A reminder from the Springfield Materials Recycling Facility. Wishful thinking doesn't make it happen. Learn more about which recyclable materials manufacturers can use and what they can't. Visit springfieldmrf.org.
Reduce, reuse, and recycle. Take the time to recycle, because we only have one Earth.
Yeah, I hope you heard that. Someone besides me saying that cups are not recyclable. All right. Do I have any stories? Okay, here's a story. Let me see. About, so a couple of weeks ago, I was riding down the bike path. It was like a rainy Sunday morning. And I'm crossing North Maple Street in Florence. And as I cross, I looked up and I see this utility pole on High Street. It's got smoke that's like wafting up off the top 4 or 5 feet. And I thought, huh, that's curious. Maybe I should do something. And so I knocked on the door of the house across the street And a friendly man opens the door, and I was like, hey, look at that. He's like, whoa, I'll call someone. I'm hesitant to call 911 and have armed guards arrive for a smoking telephone pole. So I ask him, who should we call? I don't know. Ghostbusters? He says. And he says, I'll call the fire department. So he looks up the number on his phone and he dials. And as we watch the smoke get smokier and sparks start to fly, well, we're waiting there for the fire department to come. And then two young boys come to the door, maybe ages 4 and 6. And he says, hey, boys, check it out. And the boys peek out the door at the sparking, smoking pole. And then they go back inside. And he says, Dad says, they're more interested in their iPads. The sparks are turning into blue flames in places. And I'm awestruck by the kids' lack of interest in this. Like, kids, this is fire. Human beings have been mesmerized by fire since the beginning of time. Is this a shift in the core of what it means to be human? To be drawn to an electronic device more than to fire? Well, the fire engine comes and parks down the street. I say to Matthew, I hope the fire department has standard procedure for this, because I sure don't know what to do. Matthew and I are laughing helplessly, like, whoa, as we watch the sparks turn into shooting flames. A firefighter walks up to us and asks us, have you heard the transformer blow? Nope, we haven't heard anything. All right, we called the power company, he said. Another firefighter ties a piece of yellow tape from a sign on one side of High Street to a tree on the other, just like a finish line. The firefighters tell pedestrians and motorists to go around. Suddenly the sparks and the flames start making a whooshing sound. A spark hits the joint where a wire goes horizontal, and I have a vision of the electricity racing through the network of wires hanging above the city. But that spark is sucked back into the 4-foot vertical section that's now noisy with buzzing, flashing, and whooshing and high-energy blue flames shooting out and up. And then suddenly, pow! The transformer blows, and pieces of broken ceramic discs fall to the ground. Only a few wisps of smoke are left. Matthew and I say, whoa, one more time, and then decide our excitement of the morning is over. We leave the fire department to clean up the debris. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, and if you want to hear archived editions of Out There, you can go to weatherbeard.com/out there. All right, next I have Monday morning when I was emptying the downtown trash barrels, I ran into Kali Baba. Downtown Northampton. So the guy's got a sign that says, don't give me your money, pay it forward to someone else. It's 7:30 in the morning in front of Haymarket. He asked me if I thought anyone would actually read his sign, and I said, I doubt it. But maybe. I'm glad he pointed it out to me. Can I ask you about your sign?
Yeah.
How'd you get the idea for it?
I started a nonprofit called Nothing But Kindness late last year, and I've been trying to just work outreach with homeless people and people in addiction and people suffering. Mm-hmm. So I'm finding that people generally want to be good, and they might be in a desperate situation and act differently because of their situation. Mm-hmm. But I think if you instigate something nice, people usually reciprocate. Mm-hmm.
Have you been out here before with this
sign? I have. I've been working with I've been partnering with a lot of the churches, Forbes Library, the Northampton Recovery Center Town Hall. I've been distributing resources like hand warmers on certain days or updated meal cards, or I put out a dashboard on Nothing But Kindness every morning, and it says, here's the weather, here's the meals, here's the meetings, here's the sanctuary. So it's kind of like, it takes the, there's very little effort with people struggling because they don't have the energy. So this just pushes all the information out every day, and they can just look at that and figure out the best way to navigate the day.
How did you, like, what in, can you tell me a little bit about your background and what drew you to this?
Sure. I'm just celebrating 2 years and 5 months sobriety from opiates. I myself, thank you, I myself went from a very cush lifestyle, 45-year-old hetero white guy that came from a middle-class background, had access to education, and I ended up homeless. So there were so many barriers for me to encounter that if I were any one of those other check marks, like a minority or LGBTQ or gender or anything like that, or criminal history, it's got to be so hard for people to surmount these barriers. So I'm just trying to manifest some change.
Yeah. Cool. Do you want to introduce yourself?
My name is Kali Baba McConnell, and I do peer outreach and advocacy for Nothing But Kindness.
Do you get any money for it, or how do you make a living?
No, I actually just took a job at CHD as a sober coach and a peer advocate, kind of what I've been doing for free, so I'll actually now get paid for it. Cool. But I think that I come from a privileged background, and I think it's my responsibility to still do stuff. I didn't listen to the Obamas when they were talking about volunteerism because I was in a very cushy lifestyle. I didn't even think about that. Mm-hmm. But my perspectives have changed.
That's pretty awesome. Anything else you want to say?
Just do something nice for somebody today.
Awesome. You're listening to Out There. Next, I have, I'm talking with Marty Mirabal, also known as Marty the Pirate. About, well, I think I explained it in the clip. So, Marty, about a month ago, I guess it was, the city cleared out a place where you were staying, or a campsite in Northampton. And it was on the front page of the paper, how you lost a bunch of stuff. And then what happened?
And then, yeah, I just went on about my life and making the best of it. Found a new spot. Got an old tent from a friend. Got a new tent, one that we couldn't set up in our spot, but then I got another tent. So I need to wait for at least a good day to switch them out. Mm-hmm. And also got some other things that I've lost from some nice people who read the article.
Yeah, your skillet seems to, like, multiple people have talked about your skillet.
Really? I've only heard you talk about my skillet.
Oh, okay. Someone else tell me. Yeah. He lost his skillet. I think I have a skillet that he could have. So you're telling me about this woman that tracked you down. How'd she track you down to give you some stuff?
She called City Hall trying to get a hold of me, and they took her number. And when I called them, they gave me her number.
And
so
then,
I called her. And, yeah, we set up a time to meet up. And then we met up, and she gave it to me. And it was pretty weird because, like, There's no conversation. She's just like, here you go. And there's a first aid kit in there, too. Have a nice day. Okay. Thank you. But it's cool, you know. Like, some, I guess, you know, maybe she's busy. Some people don't like to chat either.
So when something like this happens, like, you know, home base is destroyed, you or what? I don't know how you want to, how would you describe it?
This has never happened before. So what happened was pretty much, like, I was keeping that place alive, and I went to jail, and then it all went to, and when I came back, there was really nothing I could do because everything was frozen to the ground, and apparently people came down there. I think they came down there while I wasn't there. If I was there, I would have gotten whatever notice that they put up. But apparently they came down and left some like information and notes for us to contact them, but we never did. And they came down again. Nobody's ever there, so they deemed the camp abandoned. And so got DPW to clear it out.
When something like this happens, what kind of response would you like from the community?
Well, I would have liked, you know, the people at City Hall just to sort of let me take care of it, but like at the same time, like one of the people I was living down there with just like he's hard to deal with and kept on bringing more things down there and like stuff that weren't even being used. Some stuff was useful, but he just kept on bringing a bunch of stuff, so like that's what like a lot of it was. And I wasn't trying to have all that. Like, it was just a mess when I got back down there, and I couldn't pick anything up or like really clean anything because everything was frozen.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to, if I tried to do that, I'd end up breaking or ripping and tearing things, and then there'd be even more to clean up.
Right, right.
So I had to just leave it until good weather, and which is what I was gonna do.
Yeah.
And. And if I could have just like cleared up my stuff and have them bulldoze all the rest, I would have. That would have been happy, you know, like, because I didn't want to clean all that up. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't me. I didn't do it. I didn't do that.
I'm going to ask about what kind of response you would have liked from the community. Oh, I'm thinking...
I've gotten some of what I've liked, you know, like, uh-huh. I would have liked, like, maybe, like, I don't know, like, a little bit more help. Like, if there's something I could do about it, somebody could let me know. I just feel like, you know, sometimes the police don't, they help less than they're trying to. Mm-hmm. And, like... A lot of shit happened that probably wouldn't have happened if I didn't leave. Mm-hmm. You know, if they didn't take me, because I didn't want to go. I didn't want to be arrested. I don't want my freedom taken away, and that's why I didn't go to. That's why I didn't go to court, and that's why I didn't go to probation, and that's why I got arrested. Uh-huh. Yeah, but like, I still think it's like a violation of my freedom, mm-hmm. and them doing that. Caused a whole like domino effect.
So you were only in jail for like a month or two, or
just like 25 days.
25 days, but it's enough to cause all this chaos.
A lot of chaos. There's a stabbing that happened down there, and uh-huh. yeah. Uh-huh.
And then
when my girlfriend got beat up down there,
Do you want to say it's okay if you don't? But do you want to say anything more about like the jail court arrest situation and how that like happened or was resolved or why that would have
I did my time or... That's how it was resolved.
Yeah, okay.
And in their eyes, you know. And I first got arrested because I drank a little bit of a beer in front of a cop. Uh-huh. On purpose, because he was very rude. Uh-huh. And I felt disrespected, so why should I respect him?
What was disrespectful about what he did?
He woke me up. He woke me up and told me to kick rocks, told me to pack up and leave, and I couldn't be there. Uh-huh. And then, like, all I was doing is sleeping, uh-huh. and I wasn't in anybody's way. Uh-huh. I think drinking in public should be totally legal as long as you're not acting a fool. Uh-huh. You know?
Yeah, it's like it's weird that you're allowed to do it. You know, if you like, got a little more money, you can go inside behind the door.
Exactly. What's the difference? You know, like drinking beer inside and coming out and acting a fool, or drinking a beer outside and acting a fool. Yeah. Besides being in and out, there's no difference.
Yeah. You said something about the woman that like tracked you down. You read the article and tracked you down to City Hall. And,
yeah. That was awesome. Like, I appreciate that so much. Uh-huh. And like, even my friend was just like, it was breaking her heart when I was telling her the uh-huh. story. Uh-huh. And she was like, oh my God, that's so nice. Uh-huh.
Do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. my name's Marty Mirabal Jr. And I'm the Pirate of Northampton.
yeah.
And also, some people also get confused, and they think there's another pirate in East Hampton, which I know there is, uh-huh. but I'm pretty sure they all think that the one in East Hampton isn't the one that's in Northampton, which is me. But it's both. I met somebody the other night. They're like, I love your pirate thing. There's one in East Hampton too that rides around on a bicycle with a pirate flag. I was like, yeah, that's me. She's like, no, it's not. I was like, yeah, my bike's right over there.
As long as I'm asking you questions, I should ask you about the pirate thing.
I guess so.
I mean, you probably get asked that a million times.
Yeah, every day. You know, why the pirate? Why are you dressed like a pirate? I mean, it's just like, it just happened.
Yeah.
It did. Like, I was a hippie one day, a punk. And just like it just evolved, you know, like, uh-huh. and then people, I left Connecticut, went to a rainbow gathering, and people started calling me pirate. Uh-huh. And then I came here, and people were still calling me pirate. Uh-huh. And just everywhere I went, people were like, a pirate, it's a pirate. And then my outfit started coming together more. Someone gifted me this hat. I just went with it.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say?
not that I can think of at the moment.
You're listening to Out There.
This is a colorful poster.
You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. That was Marty Mirabal, and I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. This is Living Color, Open Letter to a Landlord.
Now you can tear a building down, but you can't erase a memory. These houses may look torn down, but they have a value you can't see.
Crack and blow the lights away. Now you can tear a beat.
There's a colorful poster flyer on the door of 16 Armory Street. This is a message to the grown-ups from my kids and I. Come together over coffee. We are a collage of colors, textures, and shapes. Yet underneath it, we are only human. MissionCommonGrounds.org. Marty said when he went by, there was a token with a plastic coin on it that said something like, "One good for one free coffee." And so he looked at the website, and it looks like a project of Billy Park, the Northampton resident, who also was doing like a hugs campaign over the past year. Already now we're trying to figure out how it worked, but you can go to the website, missioncommongrounds.org.
Hey, this is Dwayne, the dog. Rennie, tune in every Friday from 2 to 4 for My Generation. Rock with me through the 70s once again. Only on WXOJ 103.3 in Northampton.
You want to learn to fix your bike? How to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it? Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike-specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab.
Almost every Saturday since 2004, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. here in Northampton at 12 Northern Avenue.
Come with your bike or your questions.
And your willing attitude.
Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
Vengan al Bike Lab de Northampton, el taller de bicicleta. Aprende a arreglar tu bicicleta y a divertirte.
All repairs guaranteed to the end of the driveway.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop. That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue. They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is. Next on Out There, we have my housemate Alex Jarrett talking about his adventure on the Connecticut River in earlier in February.
Last Wednesday was a really hot day. And while I was in here in the studio, my housemate Alex Jarrett was floating down the Connecticut River. Alex, can you tell me about your trip?
Well, I packed up my pack raft, which is a small inflatable raft that's very sturdy. And I walked down the bike path until I got to the Connecticut River. And right now, the river, there's huge walls of ice, like, and chunks of ice that are all along the shore. So I had to first find a place where I could even get down to the river.
Like, how tall were the ice banks?
5 or 6 feet, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then I put on a wetsuit, even though it was 70 degrees out, so it was very hot.
Was February 21st.
Yep. And yeah, the water was ice water, basically. Mm-hmm. So I got into the raft and started floating off, and there were lots of ice chunks all in the water. I got to experiment with, does an iceberg 90% of it really below the water? And there were some ice chunks that were floating that way. Uh-huh. And I spun them over and saw, oh yeah, most of it's underwater.
And you had a GoPro camera with you too that you plunged underwater.
Yep,
I borrowed
that and the wetsuit, and so then I also took a bunch of photos of that and movies. And my highlight was finding a pretty large iceberg. It was actually a bunch of ice chunks that had all stuck to get frozen together. And that was moving down the river, at river speed. And I managed, one of the ice chunks was kind of a ramp-like. So I could just dock right onto there and scooted my boat up onto the iceberg and had lunch on the iceberg while, everything looked like I was totally stationary if I just looked at the iceberg. But then I looked off at the shore and saw I was still floating down the river. A lot of, crazy huge walls of ice, and saw hundreds of geese on the river. At one point, the wind came up from the south and I could barely move forward, and there started being waves. But it was so warm that If I occasionally, I just had to like dunk my hands and my feet into the ice water to stay cool enough. Otherwise, because I was just overheating. And then I ended up down by the Oxbow, by the state boat ramp there, and took out and took the bus home.
That was my housemate, Alex Jarrett from Florence. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I want to say a couple things about war tax resistance. I have my latest newsletter from the National War Tax Resistance Coordinating Committee. If you're unhappy with the amount of your taxes that are going to pay for the military budget, there's suggestions on how to conscientiously not pay those taxes and how to redirect them to groups, organizations that you support. So NUTRIC, National War Tax Resistance Coordinating Committee, is encouraging this collective redirection effort and initiative to support organizers who are directly targeted by state-sponsored violence and are fighting for liberation in our communities, particularly trying to redirect money that you would pay to the military to support Black, Brown, and Indigenous resistance. It can be tricky figuring out how to do this, and there's different methods of war tax resistance, but I'm not really going to go into it. I'm not prepared to go into that right now. I'm prepared to tell you to look it up. Look up everything on the internet. I'm prepared to encourage you to see if there's some way you can do it. War tax resistance is very much about supporting what you believe in and not just, you know, avoiding paying taxes. Next on Out There, let's see, it's 4:44. I got a couple of little stories. Another one from Downtown Trash. I was doing Downtown Trash last week, and I came across in a recycling bin downtown. It was like a plastic cup, which, you know, I hate plastic cups already. But this plastic cup, it was still sealed with something in it, and I picked it up because it was heavy, which, you know, as a trash hauler, things that are heavy, that's bad, unless they got something good in them. And it was a cup of pomegranate seeds, pomegranate arils, A-R-I-L-S. I never heard that word, but that's what it said on the packaging. And, part of me was excited because I was going to eat them if they were still good. And then part of me was like, what? They took off nature's cover, the peel of the pomegranate, which is an amazing peel. You know, it preserves pomegranates in an incredible way. And they opened it up so they could put the loose seeds in a plastic cup. Oh, and there was a plastic spork attached, too. It was an abomination, I tell you. That's what I thought with every bite. And to go along with that, I'm going to play Barges. Let's see. This is an educational parody of the Thrift Shop music video by Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. It was created by students ages 12 and 13 as part of Maui Hulayu Foundation's Hulayu Environmental Filmmaking Club.
In our shopping bags, all our stuff comes on barges. I'm hunting for a new solution. This can't last forever. I walk into the store like, what up, this is a big shock. I'm so mad that this junk is in our food shops. Hawaiians on the land were so damn susty, till the captain said, give me a Big Mac, Rusty. Barges in the ocean deep, wasting all the gasoline. No food growing next to sugarcane fields of green. Barges fill all my needs, ship all that stuff to me. Probably should have grown this, it's growing just down the street. Miss.
but ship, it was 99 cents. We're drinking it, eating it, take a look at these ingredients. How fructose malt reduction, how'd that get all in my muffin? And get me some real ingredients. I'm planting and growing and saving my island, color happy in my garden. I'ma take it local style, I'ma take it local style. No, for real, Mr. Farmer, help me start my garden now. Pass me some seeds and some good compost. A pickaxe and a shovel and I'll start planting. You want some sweet potatoes? I got some sweet potatoes. Mexico, guess what? Don't send us your tomatoes. Hello, hello, my farmer, my mellow. The mainland got nothing on our food game, hello. I can plant some fruit trees, let them go. Sell them to haiku hippies, be like,
ah, he got the mango.
Look in our shopping bags. All our stuff comes on barges. I'm hunting for a new solution. This can't last forever. Look in our shopping bags. All our stuff comes on barges. I'm hunting for a new solution. This can't last forever. What you know about rocking the bow on the barges? What you know about where your stuff comes from? I'm digging, I'm searching right through the garbage. East and west is where that stuff comes from. Thank those little kids for sewing that button-up shirt. Cause in China, they don't get paid dirt. I'm at the thrift shop, you can find me buying used stuff. Cause I'm not supporting that system. Your laptop, your TV, your iPhone, your camera, they make a new one every year, so you'll buy another. They build all this crap to break disgrace and mother. It ends in the landfill one way or another. They be like, oh, all this stuff is hella cheap. I'm like, yo, single-use plastic is hella weak. Something we're missing, let's do some simple addition. 5,000 miles for a plastic fork you use for 2 minutes. I call that a waste of fuel and money. I call that a throwaway society. Your shoes, hella dope. But having 50 pairs of the same one in your closet is hella don't. Peep game, come take a look through my telescope. If buying happiness isn't planned, then you hella won't. Then you hella won't.
Shopping bags.
Look in our shopping bags. All our stuff comes on barges. I'm hunting for a new solution. This can't last forever. It's time to buy local. You'll feel incredible. When you buy my vegetables from my farm stand down the road. It's time to simplify. Won't know until you try. We bought all our clothes from that thrift shop down the road. Look in our shopping bags. All our stuff comes on barges. I'm hunting for a new solution. This can't last forever.
You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Democracy Now! Is coming up at 5 o'clock. I think I'm going to share the latest writing from my dad, Jim Woodring. He's in southeastern Kentucky, so they're a little bit ahead of us in the season. But the title of this little piece is called The Flowers Decide. My dad says, I met my neighbor out at our mailboxes the other warm spring day in the middle of February. We agreed on the reality and craziness of climate change when spring begins in midwinter. Now that any season of the year can happen at any time of the year, he asked me which season I liked best. The long answer is that I like all four equally for these reasons. Spring, with a carpet of multicolored crocus on the hillside, and the tiny, fragile crocus being overwhelmed in size and color by thousands of golden jonquils, and above them, the butterscotch of the forsythia has begun to compete with the thorny red japonica. Lacy, creamy service berries are a tad behind, so they will compete with the heavenly aroma of the lilac. I like spring because the new leaves on the trees cover all the scars and ugliness of the strip-mined mountains. Summer is best because of food. Warm, sunny days make the garden grow. Each season has its downside as well. Just as the warm rains of spring can bring flooding, so also too much warm sunshine can mean heat waves and drought. Fall means fun and color. The green of the mountains get peppered with the changing red of the maples and yellow of the poplar until one morning you wake up and the mountains blaze with color. For me, the colors of fall bring me closer to a feeling of God's glory than any other season. The fall fun continues when the leaves turn brown and fill the earth below. I did it as a boy and still enjoy walking on a trail or sidewalk and kicking my way through leaves. I now miss the best part. I used to rake leaves, not for picking them up, but for jumping and diving in. I don't dive into big leaf piles anymore. Plus, it's no fun trying to dive into 6 or 8 bags of leaves stacked on the curb. And on to winter. The best of winter comes after a snowfall. The blowing storm has passed, and the world seems new and sparkling, covered with a dazzling white blanket under the fresh morning sun. I don't know much poetry, but stopping by the woods on a snowy evening makes the calm beauty of the moment last a long time. But let's go back to my neighbor's question. I like something about all seasons, but I always like best the one I'm in right now. I'm alive. This day is a special gift. I have the freedom to choose how I will live and what I will do. In this season of spring, I am one with all the jonquils and lilacs, forsythia and crocus. They decided to bloom, decided on their own. These flowers could not make this decision unless they had brains and consciousness. It takes two things. It takes those two things for them to start blooming. I don't know where the consciousness of a crocus resides, but science and CAT scans can't tell us where ours is either. The plants probably talk to each other also. Then they take a vote on when to start blooming. But even though I don't know how they do it, I'm happy they've decided to share their life-giving power of beauty with us. This is the best season. That's from my dad, Jim Woodring. And before I sign off of Out There, thanks for listening today here on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP 103.3 FM in Northampton. Democracy Now! Is coming up at 5 o'clock. And this is Fishbone with Everyday Sunshine.
Sun would shine, take me to another place in my life, where everything is beautiful, and no one should need, no sun to greet, to rule our soul. I wish every day sunshine, how I wish. We can fly away on wings to a place where all could be true. And the sky was blue,
and the sky was so blue.
Love was true, as me and you grew, you grew. Oh, how I wish.